certainly appreciate that presentation for the Gideons and the work that is accomplished through them. I know we have entered into the time of the Annie Armstrong Easter collections that will be taken, but I also want to encourage you, at some point, the church, we will take an offering for the Gideons, but you too, please consider how much good you can help or how much good you can contribute to the distribution of God's Word in this world, and people need to know who Christ is and what a wonderful way to provide that opportunity. Amen. Thank you again, Mike. It's good to have you this morning. I want to spend just a little bit of time with you this morning. I'm going to ask that you turn with me this morning to John chapter 3, a wonderful verse that is always something to keep in mind, to be mindful of in every day, that God loves us and cares for us. John 3:16 is what I'll be sharing from today. I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. If you'd like, you can read it with me. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your blessings that are in it. We thank you for your spirit that fills us. We thank you for the hope that indwells within and spills over into our life and is shared with others. Help us, Father, to be your people, to be stronger and to be better at it, to honor you as you have honored us. Be with us now, I ask, and strengthen us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be seated, please. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave everything when he gave his Son. I don't know any of us that would be willing to sacrifice our children for the life of another, but I know a Savior who was a son, and he was sacrificed to save me from the wrath of his Father.
Amen.
God gave his Son that I might live. He gave his Son that all of us might live. And when I survey the scripture, I find wonders of God. I find many things in here, the wonders. I find confusion. I find joy. But of all that I see, there is a common theme that we can draw upon, and it's pointing us to life in Jesus. Salvation through Jesus. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, it is about Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. There is a lot in between that teaches us how we should live and how we should honor each other as well as honor God. But there is nothing more wonderful than finding a moment like this when you see God being taught to us and speaking to us through the pen of the apostle, saying that God the Father so loved all of us that he gave his only Son that we might be saved from sin. I read many things, and all of the things that help still are empty if the soul doesn't complete them by adding Jesus Christ to the mix. You can know a lot about Scripture and be lost. I promise you, Satan knows a lot about God and is lost. Satan could walk into the church today and promise to be the best member, have the most days without missing a service, and to do everything that needs to be done. But if he has not walked to the altar and said, Lord Jesus, forgive me, he's still Satan. You have to have forgiveness of sins. It must come through Jesus Christ. And that's why I just want to share briefly the wonders and the confusion and the joys that I see in Scripture. I read here that God gave His Son. But before that, I read something else. John the Baptist, he comes and he's a voice in the wilderness, and he's speaking to the crowds that were there, the same as I'm speaking to you today. And he had a message. John, who I think was the one who gave the greatest sermon of all, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He said this first. "There stands one among you whom you do not know." And too many people in our world today don't know Jesus. But the opportunity for us to stand and to make Him known is real and alive for us every day. As Christ is alive in us, let that life flow from us into others. I see also when Jesus was traveling, he had an opportunity to speak with a woman at a well. And they had pretty good conversation, if you remember reading about that. They talked about many things. And Jesus told her about her life and who she was. And she was literally amazed at Him and what He knew. And she began to question who He was. But the point of all that was spoken between the two, the greatest thing, the greatest point that was made from Jesus to her, and the same point that can be made to us today, is this. He stated simply to her, "If you had asked me for water, I would have given you living water." I would have given you living water. There stands one among us who we don't know. But He's making Himself known, and if we ask, He will give to us living water. It's not just things that we see taught in Scripture and how Jesus is presented through His teachings and the parables that He taught. It is other wonderful things that we see. For example, when Jesus walked on the water, He had this to say to the disciples, "Do not be afraid, it is I." And that's comforting for me, because I know even now when I am in the midst of a storm, it has no control over Christ. And He can walk right through it, stand by my side, put His hand on my shoulder and say, "Joel, why are you so afraid? It's just a moment." And then it's gone. Don't be afraid of the things we face in life, because Jesus is with us. And if He walks on the water for them, He walks through greater things for us. Just as horrifying, just as terrifying, He walks with us through all of these things. I remember seeing also the man born blind. He had one thing to say that stands out more than anything else. "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." So I can stand before the world and I can tell them that Jesus lives. I know it. He lives. And they can say, "How do you know?" I can say, "Because I was blind, but now I see." These are wonderful things that all of us can have within and can speak about to others around us. But even more wonderful than that, perhaps you remember this. Jesus had a friend who was sick, and he lingered for 4 days before He showed up. 4 days after his friend had died. And when he arrived on the scene, Jesus wept. And his weeping is wonderful to see because he cares for those that are his, but it is something even more powerful that happens. Jesus said these words, "Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and feed him." So I can stand here today and say that I'm not afraid of any storm. I'm not afraid of anything that a man might try to do to me, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My Savior can control the storm. He can squash the storm. And whether I have to travel through a storm one day or two, it doesn't matter, because he's with me. And I know he's with me because I'm no longer blind. I see. And one day, I will step into eternity. And I will see my Savior and live. Amen. But there are some confusing things that we see in Scripture too. Because even with all of this that happens throughout Scripture, I find some other things that just really confuse me and disturb me. Because when you know the goodness of Christ, when you have walked with Christ and felt the love of God through His Spirit that indwells, how is it that we can forsake Him? Turn away from Him. How is it that Jesus would have opportunity to say something like this? "Judas, with a kiss, you betray me?" With a kiss. How many of us have ever felt that close to Christ and then felt like we have placed a kiss of betrayal upon His cheek? This is not anything I would want you to feel or to experience. It's confusing to me how we can walk so close in one moment and separate ourselves from Christ so far in another, that I can almost hear when He speaks these words to us as individuals. Not only was Jesus betrayed and how horrible that is, but what is even more disturbing to me is that He was taken into a mockery of a trial and brought before the people that He had loved and had healed and had taught, had done nothing but shown the glory of God through everything that He did. And they stood in the temple and they said, "Give us Barabbas! Crucify him! Crucify him! Let his blood be on us and our children. Crucify him." How does one accept the love of God in a day and turn against him so harshly in the next? See, when you survey the Scripture, you see many things. Wonderful things, confusing things. Even that from the cross, Jesus would say, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." Maybe they didn't. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we make a conscious decision, don't we, to turn against Christ. When the storm lasts a little longer than we think it should, when we haven't seen as clearly as we felt God could have helped us to see. That our anger against him is like placing him on the cross again. And God is still willing to forgive because he understands. We don't know what it is we're doing. I'm thankful that I can read that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I'm thankful that I can read the in-between to the cross and see the love and the hate and the love. When the one who was betrayed still says, Father, forgive them. Because I know that in my life, when I fail Christ, forgiveness can still be had. Because his love is that great. And though I can see the wonderful things and the things that confuse and disturb me, I can see other things that give me some of the greatest hope I've ever had in my life. That can help build a bridge between my moments of failure and that shore of peace with God again. I see in the scriptures, while the question was asked, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. And I can remember when Christ said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. This power has been given to me that I should lay my life down and take it up again. And I can see the Father and the Son speaking before the foundation of the world because Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world was ever laid. And I can see the Father and the Son and the love between them and the Father saying, Son, we must. And the Son saying, Father, I will. And the Father saying, I will honor you in it. And I see God honoring his Son. And I see God's glory poured upon his Son. And that he had the power to lay his life down and to take it up again. And I don't seek him among the dead. I seek him among the living. And I seek him through his living word, which is his scripture. The thing that points to Christ from beginning to end and all of his glory. And I celebrate because God loves me. And I walk in my life as one who believes. And as I believe, I remember also these words, these last words that I will share with you. When Jesus said to Thomas, don't be unbelieving, but believe. And then this. Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet believe. You see, for us, we have God's Word. God's living Word to find life through. Through the testimony in the lives of others. Through the Spirit that speaks through them. And by the Spirit who speaks to us. Who calls us into faith. To believe and to accept Christ as our Savior. To say to him, I know I am responsible for sin. I am the reason for the cross. But you are the only hope for life. Father, forgive me. Father, make me a new creation through your Son. Let me have the hope and the joy of life in him that you have promised. Forget about the world. This is just the place we pass through for a short while until we enter into eternity with Him through faith that is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I implore you to find forgiveness through Christ. I beg of you to plead with Him for forgiveness and to accept the mercy He is so willing to give, that you can then receive the fullest joy of life in Him. It begins here in His words. It continues from here because of His Spirit and because of His words. And I encourage you, believe in Him whom God has sent to save the world from their sins. His only Son. His only Son. Jesus. Do you know Him today as Lord and Savior? Have you found forgiveness for your sins? Then celebrate. But if you have crossed the line, talk with Him. Restore yourself with Him and know the true joy of your salvation again. But don't wait. This is the time we have, and none other is promised. Right now, will you come? Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You again for grace and mercy and for peace. And I thank You for love that is so great that we can't fully comprehend what it all is. But we know when we experience it, Father, how wonderful it is to have. I pray, Father, for all of us to know You and to have life in You, the forgiveness of sins and the hope of tomorrow through You. And if there is one that does not, pray, Father, speak to them today. Call to them today and open their ears that they might hear and their heart that they might receive. Unto Your glory we ask it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come?